Right, coming up on 307 on DGS. Dave out today. Back on Monday. Rachel's here. I am here. Andrew's here. See, I didn't do the last name thing.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm making progress.
You're like, it is I, Wheeler.
It is me. It is I, Kevin, in the chair, talking for Dave. Making noise.
Anyway.
Yeah. A couple of tech / social media things I wanted to bring up with you guys. And I know we have a couple of them. I know, Rachel, you have one about smartphones and AI stuff. But I've been TikToking. You know, I do that. I usually only do it like late at night, right before I go to bed, just as kind of like, all right, I'm going to lay here and do this for 15, 20 minutes. And I don't do it much other times because I'm filling that time with TV shows or video games or whatever. But I've noticed that scaremongering is a huge thing right now on there.
On TikTok
specifically? There are all of these influencers that are getting sway, that are getting views and comments and likes and all that. By trying to scare the crap out of people. They're always like, one more sign that World War III is coming. And I know because I'm on TikTok. Like, they're not professors. They're not people that study anything. They don't come from the intelligence community. They're just random people who, like, if you knew what I know, like, you don't know anything. You don't. Why do we buy it? Why do people go in on the doom stuff? Because it clearly works, because they're getting clicks and they're getting, you know, even when they're getting stitched by other people who are saying, you're an idiot, you don't even know what you're talking about, they're still getting the exposure.
Yeah.
Why do people like fish take that line every time?
I think it's just kind of instinctual. We just, we have this need to like stay safe or like stay huddled under a blanket. And if someone's coming to you saying, like, it is so dangerous out there and you have no idea how bad things are going to get, that kind of plays to that instinct to just, like, stay safe. So it's like, yeah, this person might not be a professor. They might not have any sort of expertise in this area. But on the outside chance that they know that they're talking about, maybe I'll pay them some mind. I don't know. I try not to. I have not gone down that path on TikTok, but I have in other ways where it's just like hey, if something's going wrong in this area, this means fill in the blank about like your relationship or your job or something like that. It just pays to be negative. It's easier to go negative.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get to, the what's wrong with all of us because it's not just a few people and it clearly works. But think about it even on the larger scale. We talked about this, I think it was either early this week or last week maybe, when we were talking about news coverage. And it's negative and angry and they're bad. The other guy's bad. Is it just that fear is such a motivator for survival, like historically? Without the fear instinct, we don't make it as a species. You know, that's how we combated coming up with animals that could kill us. Because we had a strong fear reaction and we could avoid those areas. And then we learned very quickly where to avoid and all that. But see, the difference now is, I guess we're so safe, we don't avoid the fear mongering. We actually dive into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understand, like, what good does it do you? Like, what can you do or I do if World War III is going to break out? Like, what good does that information do you? There's literally nothing you could do to prevent a foreign power from doing something stupid, or even to prevent your own country from in the moment doing something stupid. You can always vote and do that, but that's a long-term thing. Like, if somebody's going to decide right now, we're bombing Iran, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen if somebody decides that. And I don't know that you can't plan for World War III. I saw a guy yesterday, his video is like, you know, the oil prices just tripled. No, they didn't. They didn't. It's a fact. It's not even a thing. It's not even close to a thing. I think the prices went up like $1.75 a barrel. And this guy's like, they just tripled in one day. You know it's coming. Get out there and fill up your tanks and get to Costco and load up. Like, how much can you load up? I mean, unless you have a bunker, you know, and if you're one of the people that has a bunker with a year's worth of food, okay, but what's that like? 1/8 of 1% of all human beings that have that. What are you telling the average person? If the world's going to end, if there's going to be World War III and there's going to be shortages, well, you can make it for 3 weeks. Well, good for you. Then in 4 weeks, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we even bothering with this? Not, and I don't know. Maybe some of them, like, eventually they end up selling like a lot of like Alex Jones type stuff. Like they're selling survival kits and they're selling, you know, MREs so you can store them in your bunker.
Right.
So that like, unless you're selling it, and even if you are, what a terrible way to make money, to just flat out lie to people and try to scare them into buying some crap.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what Alex Jones is doing. People are like, why is Alex Jones so crazy? He's because it makes him money. He gets rich selling, you know, buy gold now because the dollar is going to be worthless in 6 months. No, it's not. It's not how it's going to happen. It's not going that way. But fear sells even faster now than I think before. And I think I've mentioned this. I'm watching docuseries. I think it's a Frontline series. Yeah, Frontline series. That's on Netflix now about the Cold War and how if you got you guys probably didn't do this when you were kids in school. Did you guys ever do like this is what we do if a nuclear war happens?
No.
Yeah, we had a little bit of that in the 80s, like a little bit, but it was more of like a 50s and 60s. Like people were building, you know, fallout shelters in their backyards and they were it was the same idea. It was all this fear mongering, like, those evil Soviets, they want to bomb us because they hate us. And they were saying the same thing about us, you know, to their people. And like, what was the point of it all? Because we all knew rationally that if it ever got to a nuclear war, it's the end of everything. And it's the end of everything. But we've been doing this forever. And I don't get it. I don't get why we're not at this point smart enough to see through it.
I think it's just, if you can hold on to some semblance of control, even if you really have no control, that is really comforting to people. If they feel like they have, you know, some sort of inside information, I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I just think that's why we fall for it, because it's like, yeah, there's nothing I can do, but this person is telling me that there's something I can do. At least I'm taking those steps, and then their mind can rest a little easier. That's the only way it makes any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got it. All righty then. I guess we're just basically
we're dumb.
Well, not. But let's put it this way. Maybe the point is that we rely more on instinct than we think we do.
Oh yeah.
As
absolutely.
A species, where we think it's about rational thought, and you know you can measure this and understand that. But reality, maybe the biggest motivators have nothing to do with anything you think consciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's the subconscious. Oh, this will make me feel better. Even though it's in the end not going to change a damn thing about the outcome of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the simple things that we could do, like vote, we don't do.
Right.
Right.
Well, let's not get ridiculous here.
God forbid I'm going to take time away to do something. I'd rather stock up on MREs.
Right. I can't vote. I'm working on my bunker.
All right, Rach, let's talk about what Zoomers are doing. It's not totally related to this, but it sounds like some people in Gen Z are going away from all of this noise.
Yeah, I've saw an article yesterday that some Zoomers are ditching their smartphones because they just feel like it's too much. There's too much going on their phones. They've sunk too much time and energy into different apps that don't actually enrich their lives. So I read an article about 5 different Gen Z kids who decided to get rid of their smartphone and switch to a flip phone. However, as much as it has improved their lives, and some even call the flip phone like a fashion accessory, like a throwback to the early 2000s, which is adorable.
Nerds.
They still typically end up using a smartphone for, would anyone like to guess what they would use the smartphone for? The hardest thing to give up about your smartphone.
Camera, right?
That's a good guess.
Ooh, that's
but no.
A good one.
Music?
Man. Not camera, not music. Calculator. Yeah.
No, the answer is they're still using it for maps, for GPS.
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
I mean, that is one way the smartphone has definitely, I think that is 100% a positive, is the maps on your phone.
So maybe this is some logic that the youngins had figured out that I'm just too old and stupid to figure out. But if you have the smartphone and it connects to the internet, why do you need the flip phone? Why don't you just not do the social media? Like, you leave off the things that you don't want, but you keep the things that you do want.
It's an aesthetic choice, I think.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Like, you don't need the flip phone.
It's
like,
about looks.
I get what you're saying, and I get the idea of getting away from the things that you think are dragging you down.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just delete those apps from your phone. But if you still need the smartphone for maps because you don't know how to get around without them, which again, I don't blame anybody because you guys didn't, you know, and by you guys, I mean Gen Z. They didn't grow up without that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up without that. You know, I grew up memorizing. You turn right at the McDonald's, then you turn left at that guy who's got the statue in his front yard, and then you move, you know, like that's how I grew up. I get that. I don't understand the jump from, I want to get rid of the things I don't like, but I still need this device for something else. Well, then just keep it. It can still be your phone.
Yeah.
You don't need the flip phone to go with it. If you have the smartphone and it's connected to the internet anyway, you've shown that you can go without the, you have the discipline to not use the apps that bother you.
I think Andrew's right, and it's the aesthetic thing, and like, I'm using a Motorola Razr.
They want to be seen. The phone doesn't even need to be a phone. It could just, you could just be pretending to talk on it. You want to be seen with a Razr. It's not that much different than when Razrs were initially popular. They were kind of the cool phone.
Right.
But that was because at the time they were the most advanced.
No, mm-hmm. I think not necessarily. I think it's because they were the handsomest.
The handsomest.
The handsomest. They were the best looking phone. In addition to being having, I guess, I don't know if I would call them necessarily technologically advanced, but I think they were good looking.
I had a knockoff Razr. It was a very thin phone, but it was from U.S. Cellular, and it was not the Motorola Razr, but I hoped that everyone thought I was carrying the Razr.
I honestly can't even remember what phone I would have had
Motorola
before
trimmer.
An iPhone. Like, I don't even know what it was called. Just
I'm a
phone.
Nerd. I remember them all. Yeah. But I worked at Radio Shack, so what do you expect?
Yeah, I expect that. All right, Andrew. Rachel's got a video game list for us.
I know this list.
Let's go. Oh, you know it? Oh, I don't.
I do. I saw it this morning.
Is it good?
No.
Well, I was going to say, how do my gamer colleagues
all
feel
right.
about this list?
Well,
we
know how Andrew already feels.
This is according to a global poll of 4,000 gamers. Who is the most iconic video game character of all time? We have a couple minutes here, so let's do the top 10. So number 10, I've never even heard of this, Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Kratos, I hope I'm saying that correctly, from God of War. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is Master Chief from Halo.
Yeah, that's definitely a top 5, right?
You would think.
Yeah.
Number 7 is Link from The Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
Number 6 is Pac-Man.
Pac-Man has got to be more like
Pac-Man should
one
probably
two,
be number
right?
1.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, Pac-Man is the OG. That's mm-hmm. like one of the originals mm-hmm. that, I mean, there's not a, I don't think that you could mention that name to a human being and they wouldn't know who it is.
Mm-hmm. I would probably put him number 2 behind Mario.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably go Pac-Man first, but we'll see where Mario is.
Number 5, I've never heard of this one either. Sackboy from Little Big Planet.
See, this is why.
Oh, I didn't see that. I never played that.
This is why. Exactly. No one did. It's not a popular game or game series.
Yeah.
It's a thing that Sony tried to. It's not even a cult thing. Sackboy is the stupid little thing that Sony tried to do as a their attempt at making like a mascot character, right? Like a Mario.
Okay.
Like a Pikachu,
and it failed.
It's failed. It's stupid. No one played those games. All so right. It's like to put Sackboy at 5 invalidates the entire list even before you've even gotten to the other ones in the top
as
5.
As so many philosophers have said before.
Sackboy invalidates
Sackboy
the list.
Invalidates the list. That's a Newtonian rule.
It is. It's
Wait,
in the
Newton's
Bible.
Not a philosopher. It's in the Bible.
The top 4 is interesting. Number 4 is Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right. That's a good one.
I would probably put him at 4 or 5.
I might put him, I might go a little lower, but that's definitely
a
good
maybe
one.
A little lower.
Number 3 is Agent 47
yes!
from Hitman.
But that, again, number 3?
Well,
number
see, here's
3
the thing.
Icon.
If you're talking about hardcore grown-up gamers, then yes. But if you're just talking like worldwide appeal, then no. It would be he would be further down. He would be 8, 9.
Like Sonic had 2 extremely successful movies in the past decade.
Right. Well, Hitman's had a couple. Different iterations.
Not successful.
They were not good, but there's a couple.
Real quick, the top 2. I'm going to say the second one, and then I want Kevin to try to guess the number 1 most iconic character in this list. Number 2 was Super Mario.
Oh, my God.
So who do you think came in at number 1?
There's somebody ahead of Mario mm-hmm. and Pac-Man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
She is ahead of
Mario
she. And
is
Pac-Man.
Is it Miss Pac-Man?
It is not.
I tried to give you a clue. I'm not going to do it again.
Did you motion?
He did. He made a booby motion.
Well, who could that be?
I don't know.
Other than Laura Croft.
Oh, well,
The most iconic ever.
That would be, I would put that more in the Agent 47, like further down, definitely an iconic name, but not above Mario or Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Not above Donkey Kong either.
Yeah, where's Donkey Kong?
Let's go.
Justice for Donkey Kong.
All right, back in on DGS. Dave out today. Be back next week. Rachel, Andrew, me, yours truly, here. Not calling myself by my last name because I fight every instinct in me. Dave Murray is with us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Let's see. Glover takes a Friday off. That usually means another tattoo.
No tattoo today. No tattoos oh, that's coming good. This time. Yeah, that was a week ago. Do you ever do this, Dave? Do you ever refer to yourself as Murray?
No.
Because I've been doing it all day. I mean, like, Rachel, Andrew, Wheeler here, and I don't know why I do that. But I think it's because for most of my life, that's what people have called me.
Yes. Yeah.
Did people ever just call you Murray?
Murr was always mine.
Murr. Okay.
No,
okay.
It was always Murr.
Okay.
Hey, Murr.
Murr dog.
That was like the college, the bros, like the bros were like, hey, Murr.
Yeah, high school, college. Yeah, nice. That kind of thing.
Can we do that?
Sure, I don't care.
Good. We're in. All right, before any further silliness, what are we looking at for the weekend?
Okay, the weekend's kind of a half and half thing. Skies are going to completely clear out overnight tonight, but that means there's going to be a light freeze towards morning, except for in the city area. So it's kind of a frosty start on Saturday morning, but we should get up to about 62 degrees Saturday afternoon with plenty of sunshine. That's a good 8 to 10 degrees warmer than today. We're going to feel the difference. Saturday looking like a pretty good day. Saturday night, clouds take over. It's fine for the evening. All is dry. Temperatures in the 50s, so a little bit chilly, but showers moving in after midnight. It's windy, 45 degrees. Winds will be turning from the south. Sunday is the iffy day. A lot of clouds around, scattered showers. Could be a rumble of thunder, a flash of lightning, but nothing strong or severe. Windy. In fact, gusty winds on Sunday from the south. That will warm us up to 72 degrees. Clear skies on Sunday night and Monday eclipse day. Mostly sunny skies. I think there's going to be some high clouds around. That's not perfect conditions, but it's not too bad. 75 for the high on Monday.
All right. So it sounds like, Dave, I don't think that these plans have been finalized, but I know that the powers that be have things in motion so that we will be doing the show from our rooftop on Monday. So you're telling
okay.
me that we should see something, although we know we're not we're not in totality, so we know that we're not getting that. But
right.
know, we should be but relatively cloud-free?
Yeah, relatively. I think that's a good word to do
okay.
it. Yeah, we're 98% in totality versus like a Farmington or Poplar Bluff,
okay.
that is 100%. You know, and that's that 2% people say, oh, well, I might as well just stay here and watch it. That's a world of difference, even
is
though
it?
It's just 2%. Mm. But the peak, the totality peak is going to be right around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
But it's still, even though we're in 98%, still totally worth it to go outside and observe it if we can.
Yes, and never, never. Directly look at the sun.
I was going to say and totally stare at it the whole time.
Is it worse to look directly at the eclipse than to directly look at the sun regular? Because I do that all the time and it's fine.
Don't do that.
You shouldn't. Our heads, most brains, Andrew, most brains,
uh-huh.
when you look at the sun, directly at the sun, your brain says, turn away. Don't do that. That's hurting my eyes.
Yeah, and your eyelids come down.
Sorry, I guess I'm just different. I
mean,
We built different.
But no, but is it worse to look at the eclipse than a regular, like, looking at the sun?
No, it's the same thing.
Oh,
the
that's
rays are still
fine.
No, it's just the point that, like, you think you're not doing any damage, and all of a sudden, here's sunlight, and you
that's
get smoked.
And, man, you hit it right on the head, especially, 98% totality. It means there's 2% still coming in at you at full force. So you're thinking, oh, well, this is okay. I can take this versus directly looking at a bright, sunny day. But those damaging rays are getting right into your eyeball.
So,
and you may not notice it right away. You might say, hey, see, I look directly at it and I'm fine.
Yeah,
and then you'll wake up the next morning and go, I'm not fine.
That's a bunch of hooey.
My vision is all blurry.
Dave's
it hurts.
A bunch of hooey. That's what Dave says, hooey. He brings up hooey. All right, so at 98%, what should we expect? Like I don't know about you guys, Rach and Andrew, or Dave, but on the last one, we did go to an area where it was the totality, was the 100%. And I know what that looks like. It's dark and the bugs get going. So we're gonna be downtown St. Louis up on a rooftop. What's that experience gonna be like for people that are staying around the metropolitan area?
You know, it's not going to be like Totality, which you know, in 2016 it came, the Totality was right through St. Louis. It's going to be pretty good. You're going to notice that it gets a little darker. It's not going to get dark like Totality, but it'll get a little darker. It will, the temperature will probably drop about 2 degrees or so versus 5 or 6 degrees in Totality. I think you'll notice it. If not even looking at the sun, if you kind of look at the ground, you'll probably say, okay, you might see some shadows, you know, kind of things like that.
Okay. So is it like a bad thunderstorm coming over or less than that or?
No, I'd be more concerned about a bad thunderstorm coming over.
I don't mean concerned.
Being on the
rooftop. Just mean like the darkness. I just mean the darkness. Like
darkness. You know, it's a different thing.
Okay.
It's a different kind of darkness because with a giant thunderstorm cloud, you know, it's just, you know what's causing that.
Yep.
I think it's a little bit of a different experience than just a big dark cloud coming over your head.
Okay, well, next Monday, we will talk to you. It'll be after that, and I'll let you know what we saw.
If you still have your eyes.
Well, I'm not going to be doing that. I got the glasses. I got the...
Yeah.
You
know, good.
I'm going to take a pair of those glasses to Andrew's head.
Thank you. I feel much better now.
I'm not worried about it. This all... I mean, I thought you were going to say that it's extra strong and it fries your brain out. No, this is...
No, what's extra strong about it is that 98% of the eclipse is going to take place over St. Louis. So it will be easier to look directly at the sun.
Uh-huh.
But it's still very dangerous.
All right. We'll take it from
the
professional.
It's not like somebody's putting a towel over your head and saying, welcome to the eclipse.
Yeah, good point. Good point. All right, let's do some headlines, Rach.
Sure. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, Movie Guide did a 2024 report to the entertainment industry and found that the average moviegoer wants family-friendly movies. They want to see inspiring, family-friendly content. They wrote in their report, the vast majority of people prefer to see highly entertaining movies with strong and inspiring Christian, redemptive, moral content and values. Often the stronger, the better. And they pointed to the fact that those movies that have those kind of worldviews average $244.95 million when combined in 2023, while R-rated movies earned only $207.13 million. Thoughts? Anybody have any thoughts?
Yeah. I just don't know how to put it. I'm trying to what movies fit that criteria that are big hits? Because I think of all the biggest hits and they're all like the big action, you know.
Well, it's described as this: good conquering evil, truth vanquishing falsehood.
All right. So like Lord of the
prevailing.
Rings would qualify.
Correct.
I got you.
Even though it's not like, hey, this is a Christian movie, like it would fall into the Christian worldview of like evil is going to prevail over evil.
We love the good over evil. Like that's Rocky, that's Lord of the Rings,
yes.
That's Star Wars. That's literally all. So yeah, if that's the definition, boom. Yep. I agree.
I pulled this story for
that
you.
That was Caddyshack, too.
Yeah, I know.
The gopher.
No, because in the end, Noonan won. He was the good over evil.
I got this story just for Wheels because I knew it would make him mad. Kid Rock. Kid Rock wore a Budweiser hat in a new Fox News interview. He's done a 180-degree turn on Budweiser.
Shocking.
He wore a hat that said, this Bud's for you, during an interview with Fox yesterday.
You know what's not shocking is the biggest sellout in the history of sellouts selling out. Because that's Kid Rock. And the greatest thing, because my original, like I liked Kid Rock when he was the rap metal guy in the 90s and nobody else was doing that. He was the rebel without a cause. That was like literally a name of one of his songs. And he's like, and all of his lyrics are like, I'll never sell out. I'll never sell out. And then it's, of course, until I sell out and I start ripping off Southern country rock and, you know, doing something completely different than what I've always done because it'll make me more money. Anyway. Can you tell I don't like Kid Rock?
I bet you were a big fan in the early days.
I loved the early Kid Rock. Yeah. I loved the Rebel Without a Cause, the Ball With a Ball.
Wait, he's from Detroit, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
why it hurts so bad. Andrew.
I know. I've seen Kid Rock in concert, man. I saw him open for Metallica.
Wow.
And that was back when he thought metal was the way. Here's how he goes. Listen, and I say this again as a former fan. I'm not a former fan because of his politics.
Yeah.
I'm a former fan because he changed the kind of music he was making to something I don't like.
Right.
So that's why I'm a former fan. It's just a different kind of music. But this is how he started. Growing up in Detroit, he wanted to be a rapper. He was not good at it. So he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change up, and I'm going to do rap with metal and see if that works. And it did. It blew up. He had a couple of really big hit records, and then that stopped being a thing. People didn't like it anymore. So he's like, what am I going to do now? I'm going to rip off Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'm going to start doing all that stuff and sampling all those songs and make it sound like it's my song. And he's just continuously done that over time. So smart, because he's made money.
Yeah, you can't blame him for adjusting and changing.
No, but I can't blame a guy for being like, I ain't never going to sell out, and then just sell out. Yeah, yeah. So again, that's fine. My bitterness is that he no longer makes the music that I enjoy.
One more story here, and then we'll go to break. A group of six inmates who sued the New York Corrections Department will be allowed to view Monday's solar eclipse, since we're talking about the eclipse. Inmates at the Woodbourne Correctional Facility filed a lawsuit claiming that preventing them from viewing the eclipse violated their religious beliefs. The men came from a wide range of religious backgrounds, including Baptist, Muslim, Seventh-day Adventist, Santeria, and atheism. A spokesman...
Wait, atheism is the absence of religion.
Well, that's what it says. And a spokesman for the inmates said that they agreed to drop the lawsuit in exchange for being allowed to view the eclipse. So they're going to be able to see it. I'm happy for
what
them.
What a scam.
Are they going to give them glasses?
I hope so. I hope they're not sending them out
there.
Well,
it depends on what they did, I guess. I don't know what they did. So
they'll be fine.
You know, their punishment should be suiting the crime. So if they were really bad, then sure, let them eat that sun.
Andrew's like, it's okay.
They'll be fine.
Thanks, Dave.
Alrighty.
All right, Friday on DGS. Dave will be back on Monday. We've got George Mahey coming up. Talk a little food after the 4 o'clock news. 4:30, actually, 4:30 until we're done. Mark Mulder. Good stuff, man. Mark is going to be involved in a celebrity golf tournament that is also combining with like the Champions Tour. So it's going to be like real champions golfers like Vijay Singh and guys like that, with a bunch of former athletes like Mark Mulder, Albert Pujols is playing in it and all that. So we're going to chat some golf, but mostly some baseball with Mark Mulder. He's a good guy. Mark's a lot of fun to talk to. So that's coming up at 4:30. Good way to close out the week. We'll also get some of his opening day memories. Like, he had a good run with Oakland. They were really good. They were a playoff team. And then he came here and experienced what it was like here. And man, I always felt bad for him as far as just how his career went. You know, like, he's a big star. He comes here. He has his first year in 2005 was a big year. They're making the playoff run and all that. Obviously lost to Houston. And then 2006, he's the opening day starter in 2006. But then he got hurt, shoulder problems, torn Achilles and all that. And he was done with baseball at 30. But he is a phenomenal golfer. But we're going to talk to him a little bit, I think, about the difference between a former guy that was a golfer, like a former baseball player, and the real golfers that are going to be in that tournament. That should be pretty fun.
You mean the kind of people who win tournaments?
Yeah. I try to explain this to people all the time. Like, when you watch a major league player or an NFL player or an NBA player or a golfer, when you watch them, nobody you know is anything like them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know an actual professional athlete. They are just different.